Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Resident Evil Degeneration is the first new CG action Resident Evil movie. It's a full-length animated feature. Fantastic. I really like it. Great animation, good storyline, and it ties you in for the new Resident Evil 5 video game. A zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport, and two of the main characters from the original Resident Evil are back. They fought the sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago. And now, in a high-octane Resident Evil style, they're ready to battle a rogue warrior who is seeking revenge after his family was killed in Raccoon City. The deadly G-virus is unleashed, and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will these two characters from the first Resident Evil... I'm being coy here, Tim, because we're going to do another trivia question. All right?
Coy away.
So for those of you that are interested, the new Resident Evil film, Degeneration, is out. It came out on December 27th. We have another copy to give away. And we will give it away to the first caller who can tell me the name of the two characters from the first Resident Evil that are in this movie as well. And we're talking the Resident Evil video game. There are two characters. I've mentioned this ad a couple times and I've said their names. First person to call in and correctly identify the man and female character in this movie will win a copy of Resident Evil Degeneration. Is the number to call? Call right now to win your copy. We'll get that out to you right away. You cannot have won in the last 30 days. So please, if you've won recently, do not call in. If you have not, please give us a call and take advantage of this free movie. It's awesome. You're going to love it. Our guest next is Sean Castile. And Sean is a contributor to Fate UFO magazine. He's co-authored many books on UFOs, Prophecy in the End Times, Nikola Tesla, Journey to Mars, Are We Already There?, and Nikola Tesla's Death Ray and the Columbia Shuttle Disaster. Tonight, we're going to discuss his book, Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming. So please welcome, for the first time, to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Sean Castile. And am I pronouncing that correctly, Sean?
Yes, you are, Sean Castile. That's right.
Sean, thanks for joining us here tonight. I appreciate you spending some time.
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Well, we figured following up on Christmas, which was the first coming, we might want to find a little bit more information out about the signs and symbols of the Second Coming. And now you've got kind of a unique take on this, so I want to learn a little bit about that. But now, do you actually reference biblical prophecy with this as well?
Oh, sure. That's really the main focus of it. And actually, the way I wrote the book, it's more a survey of opinion from different people that I interviewed to, you know, who have or are well-established in the field. For instance, I talked to a television prophecy expert named Gary Stearman, who was part of the Prophecy in the News television ministry out of Oklahoma City. And he gave a very, very in-depth analysis, sharing his many years of research on the biblical prophecy aspects of the Second Coming and the things that accompany the Second Coming, like the tribulation, the Antichrist, that kind of thing.
Now, can you tell us, in your opinion, are we in the end times now?
Well, that is such a hard question to answer. I converted formally to Christianity in 1978, 30 years ago. And at the time, I believed that the end times were around us, that it was going to come relatively soon. And then 30 years later, I'm wondering if it's even going to happen in my lifetime, you know?
Sure.
It's just your sense of perspective changes as you get older, I think. But certainly you can always point to things going on in the world today that that seem to be like the threat of it all coming true. It could happen, you know. Well,
with the research you did, did the experts that you speak to seem to think that we are entering the end times as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on that among the people I spoke to. For instance, I was talking about Gary Stearman earlier. He definitely believes we're in the end times. The fact that Israel has been reborn as a nation after, nearly two millennia of not existing as a political or religious entity on the earth. The fact that they came back in 1948 is a definite step on the path to fulfillment. It's a sign that other fulfillments will follow shortly after. And, of course, you've got things like the development of nuclear weapons. I mean, never before in our history have we had the the technological ability to literally destroy the entire planet with a man-made weapon. I mean, that's never existed in our history before. And things like the mass media, you've never had that kind of outreach into every person's, you know, mental processes like you do now with television, radio, the internet, and so forth. So we actually have the technology to implement the mark of the beast. You know, we can put that mark in a person's right hand and create an economy where they can't buy or sell without it. So the potential for all those things to happen is certainly ever present.
Right. Well, I know they've been talking about this microchip technology. Is that what you're referring to, where they chip the back of your hand?
Right.
That
right.
chip will be scannable so that you can actually, it'll have all your medical records, dental right. records, bank records, everything, and that the only way you can do business is by being swiped. And they said the two places most viable are in the forehead and in the hand.
Right, which, exactly.
According to the Bible, is where you'll have to take the mark of the beast.
Right. And the economy will be structured so that you can't buy or sell without it. You couldn't buy a loaf of bread without, you know, having your implant scanned or whatever. So we know the technology exists. You know, one interesting thing about that, I've read a couple places, that the actual scientist who developed the microchip, his name is Mann. His last name, his surname is M-A-N, Mann. And Revelation 13 says the mark of the beast is a man's name and number. So you have like a harmony of you know, different uses of the word man. It could be a cleverly planted pun.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know there was some speculation back in the day that UPC codes were the mark of the devil.
Right, right.
Because don't they, the mathematical equation for UPC code comes to 666?
Yeah, someone has shown me that before. I don't remember exactly the technical details of it, but yeah, 666 is part of the numerical aspect of that, yeah.
With doing the research in this, why the research in this part of the field? What interest did you have in understanding the signs and symbols of the Second Coming?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I converted formally to Christianity in 1978. I was 20 years old at the time. And I guess it was just a response to, some kind of social fear, some kind of social sense of disquiet or something. I did feel like, you know, evil was all around, that the devil was, you know, an ever-present part of daily existence. And I wanted to escape from that. I wanted to escape from that into something better. So I began to study Christianity, began to read the Bible, began to read books about the Bible, Hal Lindsey's books, The Late Great Planet Earth, that kind of thing. And in following years, I began to have a certain number of UFO experiences. I don't want to go into the details of it, but I sighted ships and I had missing time experiences, that kind of thing. So with all this going on, you sort of look for a way for it to gel, to have some sort of cohesiveness, for it to fit into a pattern that you can live with every day.
Well, could you tell us real quickly, what are some of the, and we do have a winner, by the way, for the last copy of Resident Evil Degeneration. Christine from Minneapolis is the winner. And of course, the answer was Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield. Thank you for that. But let's get back to our guest, Sean Castile. He's the author of Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming.
Right.
Through the information that you've researched, can you tell me, what are some of the other signs and symbols that, according to Bible prophecy, would need to take place that have, in fact, taken place according to that prophecy now?
Well, like we were talking about before, about the establishment of Israel as a state, the technology that would permit the mark of the beast to have a literal fulfillment, nuclear weapons. I mean, I don't know. I could refer to the book here if I could find it.
Now, where does it say, and do you have an idea of what was the meaning behind the lines that led you to believe that because of nuclear weapons, that had something to do with the end times?
Well, because of the horrifying nature of what nuclear warfare would be like in actual practice. I mean, when you read the Book of Revelation and you see all the prophecies of doom, of billions of people dying, the horse of war unleashed upon the earth. I mean, totally unchecked warfare.
Well, that's interesting. We do have a question that was emailed into us from Scott Norman, and he wanted to know, the question for Sean Castile is, what do you think of What do you think the four horsemen of the apocalypse are?
Well, you have the horse of war. That one's fairly obvious. It's the red horse that's the horse of war. The black horse has to do with economic collapse, the collapse of the world economic system as we know it. The pale horse and his rider is death, and the hell follows after, of course. That's one of the scariest things to contemplate is the huge numbers of that would be involved in simple loss of life. We're talking billions and billions of people. It's hard to even imagine, and certainly if we are forced to endure that, it'll be a mind-blowing thing.
Well, right now there are foreign countries that are completely bankrupt and completely ruined. America is not far behind, it appears.
Right.
With the advent of Obama, Barack Obama coming out and saying that there could be as many as another 2.5 million job loss in the United States once he takes office. The economics are in the crapper. The world seems kind of unhinged at this point. So it would lend itself to believe for the naysayers and the believers in this that a lot of those signs are coming to fruition. Adrian just signaled me from across the room here, our international news correspondent. I guess Iceland is completely bankrupt. So there seems to be a lot of credibility towards these prophecies that are being spoken about. With some of the experts that you, some of the other experts you spoke about, did they find, and I know that you've done research into the field of UFOs and ufology having to do with the end times as well. Did any of them share your same beliefs and thought process on this?
Now, it was interesting to see how much they didn't share my beliefs. It was very interesting to see what a wide range of beliefs there are out there. For instance, I spoke to Dr. Reverend Barry Downing, who wrote a really famous book on UFOs and ufology back in the late 60s. And he says he doesn't think God's in any hurry to destroy this complicated civilization that took so long to bring about, you know. It's been centuries and centuries and centuries to get things running as smoothly as it is running. And maybe God is not in a big hurry to sort of step in and destroy his own handiwork there. I spoke to another woman, Brenda Densler, who's a PhD in religious studies from Duke University. And she talked about the kind of second coming where it's so slow and gradual we don't even realize it's happened. We just wake up one morning and suddenly we realize we're living under the government of Christ. They seem a little bit like wishful thinking, but, you know, like I said, it's just one of those divergent opinions.
Right, because the actual theory, right, is that the rapture will come first, which is the taking of the believers, I guess, and the pure will go off and just be gone, and the rest of us are kind of stuck here scratching our heads wondering what happened, and then we face the 7 years of tribulation.
Right, and of course the rapture, I very much believe in the coming of the rapture, and I believe it's going to be a UFO-related phenomenon.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the rapture being a UFO phenomenon, in your opinion. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Sean Castile. Our topic tonight is signs and symbols of the second coming. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio on 100.3 K-Talk. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim Dennis in studio with me, along with international news correspondent Adrian Lee. Our guest this evening, Sean Castile, and we're speaking about his book, Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming. And now, you alluded just before we went to the break about the rapture coming and you believing that had UFO implications, Sean. Can you explain that to us a little bit more?
Sure, I'd be happy to. First of all, let's talk about the word rapture itself. It comes from the Latin word raptus, R-A-P-T-U-S, which means snatched away. Also, it's where we get the word rape from. It's the root word for the word rape in our current English language. So you have that basic concept of the body snatched away. And I also, when I talk about the rapture, I like to mention a woman I interviewed several times. Her name is Betty Andreasen Luca. And she's an abductee. She's had alien abduction experiences all of her life. And she's also a very devout Christian woman. You tend to think of most Christians sort of copping to the idea, well, if alien abduction exists, it's probably something demonic. But she's had many, many face-to-face abduction experiences. She's met the greys, she's spoken to the greys, etc. And she very much believes that there's something angelic, there's something very positive and life-affirming and loving about them. So we have Betty Andreas and Luca and her, you know, numerous experiences with angelic aliens. There's also some verses in the Bible where Christ talks about the idea of the rapture. He says, two will be lying in a bed, one will be taken and the other left. So Betty pointed out to me one time that that's what abduction is all about. I mean, a person is lying in the bed and they're taken. So the mechanism of rapture is happening all the time. The method that they will use for the ultimate rapture is going on all the time with abduction experiences. I think the main difference is when the rapture finally does happen, they're going to take all their chosen ones at the same time, and they're going to keep them that time. They're not going to bring them back. They're just going to keep them wherever they keep them until it's time to return with Christ to fight the battle of Armageddon.
So you think the aliens are in league with Christ?
Oh, sure, sure. That's one of the first things that Betty Andreas and Luca's abductor said to her, is that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Now, they said that to her in 1967, so obviously it's been more than 40 years. But, I mean, when we try to apply a human time limit to it, I think we're very much going up the wrong alley when we try to do that. As Gary Sturman points out in the book, Christianity and prophecy has a lot to do with the idea of imminence, the idea that it could happen at any time.
Right.
That belief has existed, you know, from the very first believers 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament used to lay out more specific time frames, but New Testament prophecy has more to do with the idea that it could happen any second, which is, you know, partially designed to keep people spiritually alert. You know, it keeps them striving for a goal in the present moment, as opposed to deferring it all to some later time that they don't have to care about.
Well, I'm curious, could you tell me, what are your thoughts on this then? Because when Christ makes his reappearance in the second coming, he returns as a warrior.
Right.
And he's set out to fight the demons and fight the evil that's taking place on Earth.
Right.
What is the, who do you think the aliens are fighting? I mean, what are they coming here to fight?
Well, I was thinking about that just today. When Revelation talks about the Battle of Armageddon, they talk about the devil and the beast and the false prophet, what they call the inverted trinity, the opposite of God, the Father, and the Son.
Right.
So you have the beast, the false prophet, and Satan himself gathering his armies at Armageddon. And what they're, you know, they're not there to fight some foreign power on Earth. They're there to fight Jesus. They're anticipating Jesus' military return. And I'm assuming they're anticipating him coming in ships, like that's already a given entity. The Christ will come in ships with his warrior angels, with returning saints who will also, you know, be part of the battle, warrior saints. I mean, you have the New Testament image of the gentle, sweet-natured Christ. But in terms of the Book of Revelations, you're dealing with essentially a military.
Right, he comes back a warrior. He what came in as a lamb and is going to go back as a lion is what
exactly,
they said, right?
Yeah, right.
So he comes back to fight for his people and fight for us.
They say that Christ returns, lest no flesh survive. If Christ did not return, is what they're saying, then the entire human population would be wiped out. It is only Christ's return that's going to allow for a remnant of mankind to live on and begin to form a new world. Without Christ's return, we'd be totally wiped out.
But are we fighting, are the demonic things here on Earth that Christ and the angels or aliens are coming to fight, are they more forms of other alien force that are here in league with the devil?
Something like that. I mean, it's hard to work that stuff out. It's hard to know anything like that with much exactitude. Some people think the devil has his own kind of ship. It's going to be like Star Wars, like an aerial Star Wars type battle over Israel or something. But other people say, well, the devil doesn't ever take a physical form. You never see him in the Bible in a physical form. You see angels in a physical form. The devils are more like disembodied spirits that possess people or whatever. But, you know, it's simply the accrued evil of world governments, of satanic compromise, you know what I'm saying, of corruption and so forth. All the things that drag humanity down are going to try to fight, I guess, for their own survival. I guess you would think of it as the devil and the beast and the false prophet fighting for their own survival at the expense of humankind as a whole. I don't, but in terms of actually, you know, naming the players like with a scorecard or something, who's a demon, who's an angel, I don't think anyone can do that.
Do you believe, then, that Jesus Christ is an alien, or is he truly the Son of God?
Well, he's both, I think. I do think he's the divine Son of God. And, of course, you know, alien is just like a metaphorical term. We don't know that the aliens are aliens. We don't know that, you know, whether they've always been part of what we think of as life on Earth. It's just one of those attempts to put a name to something that we don't understand. I mean, what we perceive as a UFO was a chariot of God back, you know, thousands of years ago. So alien is more like a 20th century semantic thing. It's just a word that an attempt to put a label on something that we don't understand.
All right. And if you have questions for our guest Sean Castile this evening regarding the Second Coming signs and symbols, feel free to give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. While we're talking, so that people can check, do you have a website that people can investigate and look over as well?
Sure, I do. It's www.seancastile.com. You spell my name, SeanCastiel. So it's www.seancastile.com. I have several interviews posted there, interviews that deal with religious aspects of UFOs as well as other subjects. And you can buy any books you're interested in. All my books are available for sale there as well as on Amazon.com.
Right, and I think we have a link there. If you go to our website at the upcoming shows, you'll see the picture of Sean, and you'll see a link to his website. You also see the book cover. If you click the book cover, it will take you to the Amazon website so that you can order it there.
Right.
And it looks like we have a call coming in, so we're going to have to take a quick break here in a minute. And then we'll come back and take the caller call question that we have. Again, the name of the book is Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming. Our guest is Sean Castile. He's a contributor to Fate, UFO Magazine. He's also co-author of many books, UFOs, Prophecy, and the End Time, Nikola Tesla, Journey to Mars, Are We Already There?, and Nikola Tesla's Death Ray and the Columbia Shuttle Disaster, which I do want to talk to you a little bit this evening about as well. I wanted to get a little bit of your insight on that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll be back with more. We'll take more of your phone calls. We'll do another giveaway when we come back from break for another copy of the Resident Evil movie, Degeneration. So stay tuned. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio right here on your home for paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Nice song.
I had to do it.
Jesus is all right with me. Hey, you guys just heard the quick little announcement. We're happy to announce it is now streaming on iPhones or an iPod Touch. Any listener with those devices can now listen to us anywhere they go. And this is a great thing for our listeners. Many of you have requested it over the last few months, and it allows us to expand the time to the listeners so they can hear us from anywhere, listen to the station. Listeners, simply download the free application iHeartRadio to their phone, and they're all set. There is more info available on our website. Check it out. And then streaming live on your iPhone with iHeartRadio. Go to for more information. This will be amazing for those of you that are living in other states. You can tune in, check us out that way as well. And I hope you will continue to check that out. We have online with us Sean Castile is our guest. We're talking about the signs and symbols of the Second Coming. Sean, we have a call from Tom in Minneapolis. We're going to take that call real quick, okay?
Sure.
Tom, are you with us?
Yeah. Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I just had a question. I was wondering, is there any relation to the Second Coming of Christ and like that, Mayan calendar and the prediction of the end of the world in 2012?
That's another good question. I really don't have an answer for that one. I mean, the timetable is easily laid out as a 7-year timetable. And some of them break it down into 2 3.5-year periods. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is a popular figure. He seems to have everything working smoothly and so forth. Then after 3.5 years, the process starts to break down. You start to have the evil becomes more obvious, and you start to wind down to some kind of, you know, nuclear military Armageddon-type doom. And where 2012 fits in all that, I really don't know. I would think that if the 2012 one were going to be fulfilled, it would sort of supersede any kind of biblical overlay you could put on it. So right now, it looks to me like two totally different things, like apples and oranges, you know.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks a lot for calling in to Tom and being part of our show this evening. We appreciate it. Sean, I mean, this seems like a hotbed topic when you start talking about the possibilities of this, the possibilities of that, and, you know, what causes all these people to seek, you know, and search these answers out. I mean, we have so many doomsayers and naysayers right now that are pointing out the end of the world and the Mayan calendar. And, you know, again, with 2012, that could just mean the end of time as they were able to see it, correct? I mean, doesn't it say that even in the Bible that some of the things, you know, there are mystics, there are prophets and seers, you're not supposed to entertain them or go to them to seek the answer. You should just seek it directly from God.
Right.
But could it be that maybe just, you know, even the veil is dropped over the eyes of the seers and the mystics and the prophets come 2012 just so that, you know, you know, he gives you a certain amount of liberty, and at that point, we stop seeing, so that's why the calendars and the clocks stop for a lot of the seers.
Right. I think you're talking about false prophets. Is that the idea? False teachers that lead people astray and so forth. I don't know. I mean, if you know, 2012 seems to be a relatively harmless one to me. I mean, I don't think there's any real harm in believing that something's going to happen in 2012. I mean, it's certainly, you know, what is it, like 3 years left to go or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, There are some people who've tried to put times to some of Nostradamus' prophecies, trying to say that he's implying it was supposed to happen in such and such a year, and it didn't happen. One of his prophecies, a Christian king was supposed to come to power in 2002 and you know, sort of blow the world away with his Christian cool or whatever, and that just never happened either. So, I mean, the attempt to put times and limits on things is almost never, never successful. In fact, I interviewed another UFO abduction expert named Leo Sprinkle about the nature of prophecy for my other book, UFOs, Prophecy and the End of Time. And he says, you know, contactees or abductees who come back from their experience with a definite prediction that X will happen at such and such a point, it never happens. They just never, ever come true. So it's really hard to put a time limit on it, and you're not really supposed to. I mean, Christ says no man knows the day or the hour, and that's probably the most honest thing you can say is that we simply don't know.
Right, and that's why you're supposed to treat today as
right
a gift, because it's, you know, it is your present. It's today is what you have, and make the best of it, because tomorrow could be taken away from you.
Right. Well, like Brad Steiger, who I also interviewed for the Second Coming book, says, you know, think of every day as Judgment Day. Every day you have to give an accounting of yourself to God.
Right. And what do you want to be caught doing what you're doing right now if this is the moment God comes back, right?
Right.
We have Peter from St. Paul on the line with us. Peter, you have a question?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to ask about if you know anything about the Anunnaki or planet Nibiru coming in 2012.
You mean Sitchin stuff, the 12 planet stuff, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I haven't studied that really closely, but I do have a lot of admiration for what Sitchin does. I mean, he goes endlessly into these, you know, exquisite detail work of all the ancient scriptures and ancient writings and how it messes with the Bible and the whole alien experience and so forth. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful body of work of scholarship there. And I think he's got a very positive take on it, too. I mean, he doesn't, when he talks about, for instance, Genesis 6, the Nephilim coming down from the sky, he doesn't say they're evil like a lot of people do. He just says that was a natural descent to earth from the gods above, you know. So I haven't read him really closely, but I really do admire, you know, that whole body of research there.
And can I ask you one more thing?
Sure.
Through all my research of all the Anunnaki stuff, they said that humans are a crossbreed of the Anunnaki and what was on Earth at the time when they came, the Homo erectus.
Right.
You know anything about that?
Well, Peter, why don't you do this for us first so that a lot of the listeners are newer to the paranormal world and are tuning in out of interest. What can you tell them about the Anunnaki if you can give them a little bit of a you know, Cliff's notes so that they know what you're talking about as well.
Well, what I've read is that they, like every 3,500 years or so, this planet Nibiru or Planet X comes by the Earth. And a long time ago, the Anunnaki exhausted everything on their planet, so they came to our planet to harvest a bunch of stuff, and they got sick of doing it, so they crossed their DNA with, like, modern, like, apes, basically walking apes, to make humans to basically dig for them. And the Anunnaki are supposed to be, like, the same thing as us, except, like, 10 feet or however tall. I mean, they're supposed to be, no, maybe like 30 feet tall or something like that.
Which are like the giants or the Nephilim that they refer to in the Bible, correct, Sean?
Right, they're the same thing as the Nephilim. Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole idea sounds to me like a little bit of a blend of creationism and evolution. It implies elements of both things there. So, I mean, This in a time will get you a cup of coffee, but I mean, I think the aliens had a big hand in creating us. I don't know if they crossbred us with apes, but I'm sure they had a lot to do with our creation. I mean, the book of Genesis is full of those kind of ideas, like when the Lord said, let us make man in our image, you know. It's a collective kind of God he's referring to, with both male and female elements to it, so... I mean, I don't think man happened in some kind of accidental evolutionary vacuum. I definitely think the aliens had a hand in creating us.
Well, that would make sense, too, to what this missing link is. And is there a missing link or no? It just changed because of the DNA melding of these two races, and that's why it killed off the original, and all of a sudden there was just the forefront of this new race that came aboard.
Right, and they say we all have a certain amount of junk DNA in us, DNA that doesn't have any discernible use right now. And, you know, perhaps that's the next stage of evolution, is for that junk DNA to kick in and have a real purpose.
Peter, thanks for calling and being a part of the show tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. And keep tuning into the show every week. And again, if you've missed any part of tonight's show, or any of the shows, you can always go to click on Darkness Radio in our podcast section. You can go back all the way to August 24th for all of our shows this last year since August 24th. Or you can go to darknessradio.com, click on the archive section, and you can hear the last 2.5 years worth of shows. Be here with us next week. It's our third year anniversary show. And I'm going to make Tim do something big for the show.
Oh, Tim? All right. I'll do it naked.
Yeah. No, not. I said big. Anyway, we're going to go back to our guest, Sean Castile. And we're discussing the signs and symbology of the second coming. And, you know, with the talk of the alien races and the mixture, what does science back up? Have you found research in science data that can back up a lot of these claims? Or is it just a lot of people coming together and pontificating and theorizing these different stories?
I don't know. I mean, personally, I don't know of a great deal of scientific research that backs this up. I don't know if any kind of evidence like that exists anywhere at this point yet. I think we're still so much in the dark about our own nature, about what humans really are, how we really work. We've made incredible leaps in technology and medical science and so forth, but we're still very much in the dark about our own nature. I mean, we didn't create ourselves. We were created by something outside of us, and our true nature is still part of that mystery. It's something that the Creator still causes to be a mystery to us. When you're talking about Zachariah Sitchin, for instance, and reading the Sumerian text, I mean...
Give our listeners an update, too, on Zachariah Sitchin. Who is Zachariah Sitchin? What was his talk? Or what was his belief, I should say?
Well, he's a Jewish biblical scholar. And he's a scholar of world religions in general. And like the previous caller was talking about, he has theorized that... The solar system is not as we imagine it. That there's another planet unaccounted for, that appears every 3,000 or 4,000 years, and it's at a stage in its revolution where we haven't seen it. We don't even know it's there. But Sitchin's real point was that the ancient scriptures of all these various cultures do talk about a form of contact. That the gods were there. They were real and palpable for these ancient people. The Sumerian culture is the oldest one that we have working knowledge of. It goes back 6,000 years. And we have no idea, really, how they came into being. You went from a very primitive form of mankind to this sudden leap where mankind has got, you know, things like agriculture going on. He's got organized farming, and they're living in villages that function, you know, basically as we do. I mean, they were at least, you know, comparable to us in terms of civilization. But we have no way of knowing how they suddenly made those huge leaps that made life like that possible. And Sitchin says, you know, it's because the aliens came along. Some aliens came along and took a hand in our development as a species. And from culture to culture to culture, on up to the Egyptians, the Israelites, and all of that, you have a palpable, real, everyday relationship with God, who is teaching these primitive cultures how to not be primitive, how to be a thriving, life-affirming society.
Well, we have to take our last break for the night. You want to take the call, Tim? We can take it. We have Joe online from Philadelphia. We'll take this call, and then we're going to go to break. Joe, thanks for calling in on the show tonight. You have a question?
Yes. I'm the inventor of a communication device, and experimenters have reported that they're talking to spirits and some talking to aliens. And I was wondering what what Sean thinks these voices that they're having discussions with originate from.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Voices. I mean, that's you had a whole range of voices. You have the kind of voices that schizophrenics hear. You have the kind of voices that people hear in an abduction experience. It's hard to put any kind of definite understanding on voices. Are you talking about like electronic voice phenomena where you turn on the tape recorder and
No, he was referring to Joe created an item called the Joe's Box. There's an item out there by Frank Sumption called the Frank's Box or the Shack Hack, the telephone to the dead. There's all these different terminology for it, which you turn on these pieces of equipment and voices, disembodied voices will come through them,
right,
like you're having a two-way conversation. Even the famous Spiritcom that they built way back in the day, they would be able to turn it on and have real-time conversation with somebody on the other side. You know, and I guess the caller was wondering more along the lines, do you believe that it's spiritual in nature, that we're speaking to somebody in the ghost in the past, or are we dealing with alien?
Well, isn't it also like in the Indiana Jones movie, the Ark of the Covenant, the Nazis say at one point it's a radio for talking to God.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I haven't really researched that very much. That sounds interesting as heck, the idea that people are having these supernatural-type conversations.
Well, I know Frank Sumption, you might want to look up, Google him, Sean, because Frank speaks and believes that he is having contact with alien races through this radio as well. But we have to take our break. We'll be back with our final segment here for this hour on Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Sean Castile, author of Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming. Sean has been talking to us about his belief in the possibility of it being an alien race that's involved in the rapture, and that it's alien technology and alien, I guess, codependence with our people that have created the world and the thing that we're in. Do you think there's anything that, I don't know, I guess, what do you really want to share with the listeners about your book and about the theories of the Second Coming, and is there something you'd like for everybody to be able to take away for themselves?
I don't know. I mean, that's very much a personal thing. It's something a person has to think of inside themselves. I think I'd just like to have people open to the possibility that that the alien presence is real, that it is a sacred presence that really does care about people. I mean, they're a God that cares about people, and they want mankind to survive. They want mankind to be an overcoming, to overcome the evil that is threatening to destroy it. I think it's, you know, it's the basis of any good philosophical idea is it life-affirming and is it forward-looking? Does it give you hope for the future, and does it basically come from a place of love for mankind? And as scary as the Book of Revelations is, I think it does come from a place of love for mankind. Because once evil is finally vanquished from the world, God is going to physically dwell with the people of the earth. He's going to be not just a faraway spiritual presence, but a real world, earthly presence. And Christ will be part of that. Christ will be the Lamb and the lamp of light and so forth. So, and the nature of time is going to be different. We're not going to suffer and die like we do in our current mode of time. It'll be a different kind of existence. It will be physically will be physically alive and physically on a new Earth, but the nature of time will be such that the suffering as we think of it today will just be wiped away.
Well, you know, I do find an interesting point in this, in my own findings and those of the people that I know, that as we approach 2012, time is going by a lot faster. The relativity of time seems to actually have a purpose right now. It seems to be moving at a lot faster clip. Whereas when I was a kid, you know, people say, oh, the older you get, the faster time goes by. I even hear children talk about how fast years are going by. I mean, I can't believe that we're approaching our third anniversary of the show and, you know, that even just this last year has blown past us, that all the events and everything that we've done are gone and that we're already approaching 2009, makes me wonder if this is just, you know, the speed up process to purge, as we get ready to make the final break and evolve into the next level. And maybe, as you alluded to earlier, that's when this junk DNA or the genomes in our bodies that are laying dormant will get a boot in the ass and we'll actually start creating and becoming something more than what we currently are.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, even if you can even look at it from a non-biblical approach, the idea that it's just the next stage in our evolution. We're going from Homo sapien to whatever the next form is, you know. And it's the same as its transition from Cro-Magnon man to what we are now, you know. It's just one more step along the path to whatever perfection we're supposed to attain.
Do you believe that this deliverance that Jesus is going to bring about will in fact be a deliverance from our planet to a new location, a new planet?
Well, that's what the book of Revelation says, that the new Jerusalem will come and there will be an entirely different earth with no more oceans. It'll be like this beautiful green, wall-to-wall green Garden of Eden type place or something.
Do you believe that more in the literal sense, that means we would just not be here, or does it mean that it's just going to be the earth will turn itself over and things will be different here?
I don't know. I'm not totally sure on that point, but I do know the world as we know it will be transformed to the extent that we think of it as an entirely new planet.
All right. Interesting stuff. Again, your website is SeanCastile.com, SeanCastile.com, SeanCastile.com. The name of the book is Signs and Symbols of the Second Coming, and that book is available everywhere. Is that correct, Sean?
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us here. We appreciate having you on the show this evening.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And folks, I also want to make a quick mention. Check out our website. Go to darknessevents.com. We've got a lot of great events coming up, things that we want to share with you, and we'll hopefully have you come on out and investigate with us. There's some really great stuff going on right now. Phenomenology is going to be taking place in March in Gettysburg. There's a lot of great speakers there. The link has been fixed. So if you've tried to go in and buy tickets and you've been having problems, the link is fixed. You want to buy your tickets now, folks, are only $75 to be a part of this event. After January 1st, they go up to just $150, and that'll be the price all the way until the event. So if you want to sign up for this, sign up for it now for half price, $75. Click on the Phenomenology event being hosted by Dana Wingard, and great event, going to be a phenomenal deal. I hope you'll check that out. Also, you can join up in January here. The Ghost Adventures crew are going back to Bobby Mackey's. It's their first episode that they did, taking us back to the gates of hell itself, Tim. Country music.
Really? You're going over to my ex's place, huh?
No, we're going to the gates of hell, according to legend and lore. This place is haunted and actually has a portal to hell.
Well, congratulations on that one.
Yeah, so we're going to go check that out, but tickets are still available. They're very affordable. Go check out our website. Click on the link. You're going to want to join us. It's going to be a nice small event. I think there's 75 to 80 people is all they're limiting it to. We have less than 20 tickets left.
But aren't the gates of hell huge? Can't you go more people than that?
No.
No?
We want small gates of hell.
You only want to take certain people to
hell
with
right,
you? Is that the deal?
So that'll be the way it works. Check it out, our website, darknessevents.com. We'll give you all the information there to check out. And then we're also going to Waverly Hills Sanitarium. You can join us as we go ghost hunting the famous Waverly Hills Sanitarium, and we'll be doing that in May 2009. And then we're going to go face the Nephilim ourselves, Tim. We're going all the way out to Trout Lake, Washington.
Why not?
And we're going to face the UFO ranch at Gilliland's Ranch, which we believe are more passive, loving, giving aliens.
They are, mm-hmm. with the exception of the anal probes.
Well, some people like that.
Well,
I'm not here to judge. Stay tuned,
right,
folks. We're going to be back in our next hour. We're going to talk about time travel. Tim Swartz is our guest. Time Travel, A How-To Guide is the name of the book, and we're going to be discussing that. We'll have more to do. Listen to us here, right here, on your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.